Hello, and welcome to AwareTech, the technology of being human. We are podcasting to you today from the present directly to the future, near the borderlands of the past, where science meets the spirit and technology rules the roost. Well, as usual, this is an unusual AwareTech podcast. We aim to please, but we also aim to keep things interesting and to surprise. Well, this one is called Computer Programming for Everybody. Now, I didn't coin that phrase. It was coined by Guido von Rossum. Guido von Rossum is the creator of the Python programming language. And that is one of the tools that we will be talking about today. The hypothesis is that programming should be for everybody in this sense. Certainly not everyone can be a professional programmer or program serious things, but basically to learn a little about programming will enhance your experience with computers in this day and age. And certainly anyone listening to podcasts, much less attempting to do podcasting, should probably learn just a little bit about programming. At least it's worthwhile, especially if done with the right tools. The tools that are easy to learn, easy to use, and appropriate for the purposes at hand. So first and foremost, I'm going to highlight the programming language created by Guido von Rossum, Python. Beginning in the very early 1990s, around 1991, Guido von Rossum, well, prior to that, he had been working in a university in Amsterdam. He was a professor and working on creating a programming language called ABC, which was a language used on the computer system at this particular Dutch university. And it was for students. It was meant to be easy to learn, easy to use, and it was. And it was very successful. But basically, Guido had the idea to try to create a new language based on ABC, which would be even easier to learn and easier to use. And he created Python. Python, he named it after one of his favorite comedy troupes, Monty Python. So it helps that there's a little humor in the community, and there you have it. But the language has grown by leaps and bounds. It's an open source language. And I want to tell you a little bit about how I came to find Python and why I'm promoting it to you today. I am a very busy person throughout most of my life, but I've always had an interest in learning a little bit about programming, but certainly as a hobby, as a sideline, and I didn't have the time, energy, and dedication, perhaps, to really do a good job at it most of my life. I did study some. Actually, I took several courses that involved computer programming in college back in the early 70s, including some assembly language and BASIC and Fortran and a language called PL1 when I was in graduate school. But I had the foolish notion that computers would program themselves by the time I was, before very long had gone by in my life. Boy, was I wrong. But I wasn't dedicated to the details of computer programming. And once I got out in the world, and I had a 30-year career now in industry, in the electronics industry, I really was involved in sales and management, and although some engineering, but not involving programming. So fooling around with various programming languages, I was always frustrated until I found Python. In particular, in the last 10 years, I really wanted to learn programming once the web took off, and I particularly focused on Java, and I read some Java books, I did some exercises, and I learned enough Java to do a few things, and that was quite nice, but it was hard. I never could remember the complete syntax of the core language, and just doing everything was hard. I'll give you a for instance. Just to print hello world, that's the typical introduction in any language is to do a hello world program. And in Java, being very object-oriented, which I like, but you had to create a class and then an instance of the class to print hello world. And you had to declare your variables, types, and you had to, public static void everything. And bottom line was, you had to write several lines of code to print hello world. Well, in Python, the entire program is print hello world. One line, print hello world. Hello world's in quotes, either single or double. But that prints hello world to the standard output. And I think you'll agree that that's much easier than going through several lines of code and instantiating a class and all of that stuff. And for that reason, we like to call Python executable pseudocode. So what we mean by that is that if you just sat down to write down a simple computer algorithm, as you think a computer might do it, in shorthand, in English, with, in non-verbose English, it would be, what you would write down would be very close to what the Python code is when you actually write it down. So if you were going to write down pseudocode for a hello world, print hello world program, you might say print hello world. That is the Python program to print hello world. So look, I'm giving it to you straight. After 30 years of fooling around, wasting a lot of time trying to learn complex languages, I tried Perl, I tried Java, I tried many things. But believe me, Python is the way to go. If you want to learn programming and you want to learn an easy language, which is still powerful, learn Python. And in the rest of this podcast, one of the main things I will try to accomplish is to give you some pointers how to do that simply and well. But don't think you're going to be shortchanging yourself. Python is an extremely powerful programming language, and some very complex programs are being written in Python. And companies like Google and Yahoo, Python is perhaps their primary implementation language for their web-based systems. Python is very important and becoming more important with each passing. And one of the good things about it is it has a simple learning curve, which is not steep. So you start out with what we call procedural programming, which is the most simple kind, I believe. Print hello world. So you declare, that's a process. You write down a process. But once you, then you can, it gently leads you to the next step. There's really three steps, I would say, of Python programming. Procedural, which is how I started, how everyone starts. Then functional. You can declare functions for things that you do over and over several times in a particular program. So it's very simple. You define a function. And then third, you will ultimately move into object-oriented programming, where you do have classes and to model the real world with data and methods. And the methods are simply functions, just Python functions. And this, being object-oriented from its design, gives Python much more power than it would otherwise have, because anyone who writes a Python program, well, that program can be thought of as a module, so that you, as a newbie learning Python, can subclass you can call that module that someone else wrote and use its functionality. You don't have to understand how the functionality was programmed necessarily, although sometimes it's interesting, but you can just, someone writes a program to manipulate HTML in a certain way, you simply call that module and then use the methods that are created in that module. So very, very powerful, although a very shallow learning curve. The other thing that's good about Python is that it's probably the easiest to read of any programming language, because the syntax is simple and there's not a lot of punctuation marks. There are not a lot of, in particular, brackets, curly brackets, which clutter up most programming languages, most of the C-based programming languages. Because of this, Python's very easy to read. So even as a novice, you can pick up someone else's program and read it and probably understand exactly what it's trying to do, even though you couldn't have written the program, but you can read it. And what a great way to learn. Also, then it makes it easy for you to modify, make slight modifications in existing Python programs. Very, very simple. Lastly, I would just say in why you should learn Python is that the community is so helpful. Friendly community, very intelligent people. The Usenet news group for Python is a place to get questions answered, and it's just a wonderful community. Well, I can't leave out one more aspect of why you should learn it, and this is one of the most important of all, cross-platform. Python runs everywhere. Now, okay, I suppose no programming, nothing runs everywhere, but you won't find any programming language that will run in as many places as Python. Python, well, of course, it runs on all major computer operating systems, Windows, Linux, any Unix, Macintosh. It runs on almost every handheld or mobile device you can even imagine. I no use to list them. It'll run on most cell phones. It'll run on PDAs. It'll run on just about anything. And on top of that, it's portable to any system you can imagine. Now, everything I'm talking about in this podcast so far and to come is documented on my website, awaretech.com. AWARETEK.com. Before I did anything else with that website, I put Python stuff on there in what I call the Python Learning Foundation. So awaretech.com/plf.html. But you don't need to remember that. Just go to the main AwareTech page where you get the podcast and click on Python. up in the left-hand corner. And the Python Learning Foundation, I have put there everything you could possibly need to learn Python. And I'll talk about what's on that site because in this podcast, because believe me, you can find everything there you would ever need. As a first example of what's there, there's a section on Python for mobile devices. So when I talk about cross-platform, I have a dozen or so links to how to use Python on various mobile devices, including the Apple iPod, which I happen to enjoy in listening to podcasts. Python runs on there, and on the Nokia Series 60 cell phone, on the Palm Pilot platform, anything that runs that operating system, the Windows Pocket PC or Windows CE, WinCE, the Sharp Zorus, which I'm a proud owner of, which runs a Linux operating system, the iRiver MP3 player runs Python, and I could go on and on, but on my website I have downloads where you can download the tools for using Python in any of those platforms. Another thing on the website is a list of GUI tools, GUI toolkits, graphical user interface. Now, let me back up just a little. The simplest way to use Python is on the command line. That would be for you Windows aficionados, like the DOS prompt. For Linux, it's the shell, any bash shell or whatever shell you might use. And just about everything has a shell, and that is the simplest way to use Python. It's the easiest way to use Python, or any programming language for that matter. And I recommend that you start working directly from the command line so that you can write, like we wrote basic programs in the old days, just with a text input and output, so to speak, on a shell. But Python is perfectly well-suited to producing GUI programs also on any platform, whether it be Windows, Apple, Mac, or Linux, or any of these mobile devices, or what have you. And I have analyzed about, well, I just counted 17 different GUI toolkits for Python. And that's not exhaustive. There are more. But 17 of the most popular and easiest to use ones of how to create GUI programs. And these GUI toolkits, I'd say the easiest one, my favorite, is called Python Card. Python Card is modeled after the old Apple HyperCard, which I never used, but in the old days for Apple, there was an easy programming tool called HyperCard. Python Card is an open source program that you can just draw a user interface and it'll create the Python code for you in the background. You don't even have to program the GUI code. But there are toolkits that are especially targeted at Windows, at Linux or Mac, but mostly there are toolkits that are cross-platform so that you can create a GUI, a user interface using a specific Python tool, and then it will run on either the Windows or the Mac or Unix, Linux, again, what have you. So these toolkits, I could spend a whole show, and I won't do it on the AwareTech series, but I may create a separate short series of Python podcasts when I will talk about each of these GUI toolkits in detail, and I would encourage you to follow that, but for now, they're all documented very carefully, and you'll find it right on my Python Learning Foundation website. But to get to the best tools for learning Python, I'm going to move right into the next section. The highlight of my Python Learning Foundation website, I believe, is probably two things, but in particular, book review section, but even more so, the tutorials page. I have a tutorials page that I've worked on for 5 years now. And I keep it up to date religiously, adding new tutorials. These are all free online tutorials for learning Python and various aspects of Python. I'm well over 200 now. Well over 200 free tutorials categorized very carefully. And that's actually the most value for the pages. There's a section of beginner tutorials for absolute beginners who've never done any programming whatsoever. General programs for people who know other programming languages but don't know anything about Python yet. Then there are advanced tutorials for advanced subjects. And then tutorials for just about every category of Python programming you can imagine. I must say that when I was first learning Python, the tutorials were my main learning tool because they're easy. I started with Guido von Rossum's own tutorial for Python, the creator of Python's tutorial, and heck, you can do that in one afternoon and know the basic core language. I kid you not. I mean, in one afternoon, you can learn the language to the basic level anyway. And I just can't say enough about it. I like to do multiple tutorials because looking for, at things from different directions and repetition is important to learning for me, and I believe for everyone. To repeat, I don't learn something as detailed as a programming language, even a simple one like Python, just by going through it once. I need to go through it several times over a period of days or weeks or even months, and then I absorb it and learn it. But let me give you an idea on the tutorials. I said well over 200, and they're categorized into probably 25 different categories, beginners, some very advanced topics with a few tutorials like continuations, 7 on databases, 13 for beginners, by the way. I'm going to skip some of the more esoteric decorators, iterators, and generators, but I don't want to scare you. You don't need to learn that as a person coming from the outside. Games, there's 4 different tutorials on learning to program games with Python. GUI programming, I actually have 5 different categories of GUI programming. One is general GUI programming, and then for some of the more popular GUI toolkits like Tkinter, WXPython, Python Card, PyGTK and GNOME, and Qt and KDE. 14 different tutorials on learning how to use Python with HTML and XML. 3 different internet programming categories. Jython, which is, oh, wow, how could I neglect to mention that? Talking about cross-platform, Python has a leg up, 2 legs up further on any other programming language that I know of or anyone knows of, because in addition to everything else being cross-platform, Python has the honor of having leading implementations for the 2 leading proprietary programming frameworks. Java, the Java virtual machine, there is a program called Jython, which is a Python version that runs on the Jython virtual machine. And then now, the same fellow who created that is working for Microsoft, creating a Python.NET, which is a .NET native implementation on Microsoft's famous .NET, with their new Visual Studio .NET uses. So, boy, cross-platform. And anyway, Jython, there's 8 different tutorials on Jython, 12 different tutorials for using Python on the Apple, on the Macintosh, 12 different tutorials for Python for the sciences, 12 for Microsoft on Windows specifically, and I could go on and on and on. Okay, another highlight of my website, I think, is the book reviews. I said I like to do things from many different directions. Well, I really got into Python, and I was so excited 3 or 4 years ago to find such an easy language that I was determined to really learn it, and I enjoyed learning it. And I read many books about Python, and there are many good books about Python. So I reviewed all the ones I read, and then I read others just so I could review so many. And I would be embarrassed to tell you how many Python books I've read. If you go look at I'm not going to tell you, but if you go look at my book review section, you'll say, wow, how did this guy waste so much time reading so many books about Python? Well, at any rate, I reviewed them all from a newbie's point of view, or a non-professional, an outsider's point of view, and I divided them into 5 sections, 5-star being the best, 4 stars, 3 stars, 2 stars, and 1 star. And I've got 6 or 7 books in the 5-star section, 7 books in the 5-star section, one called Dive into Python. Probably the one I would recommend for most people first is Learning Python 2nd Edition, but you should read my reviews because it highlights who would benefit most from this particular book as a first book. For some people, I would recommend Core Python as a first book by Wesley J. Chun. There are also even easier books for people who've never had any exposure to any programming language whatsoever. There are books specifically for those kind of people, and I review those. I review more detailed books if you want to get into specific kinds of Python programming. Definitely, those are reviewed also, and I think it's a real resource. It's quite a popular. Probably the 2 most popular pages on my website are for Python Learning Foundation are the book reviews and even more so the tutorials page. So in summary, I can't say enough about Python and the fact that you should learn it. Actually, Guido von Rossum intended it to be, among other things, an educational tool, an educational language, and that's what he takes great pride in, that it's the best learning tool, and yet it has become the most powerful of all programming languages. Now, I'm going to level with you. I have a confession to make, something that no one else will probably tell you. Some programmers like to pretend that programming is so hard that only a genius can learn it because it makes them look smart. But many people, when they try to convince you to learn programming, will try to tell you it's easier than it is. And they'll tell you that everything is easy. Well, not everything is easy. Python is the easiest language. Python programming on the command line is the easiest way to learn Python. And if you're going to do GUI programming, Python is the easiest for GUI programming. However, in my opinion, in my experience, I have to level with you, GUI programming is not easy. It's not as easy as command line programming. In particular, cross-platform GUI programming. Now, let me explain. If you only want to create a GUI program for a particular platform, say Windows or Mac or Linux, then Python is very easy and GUI programming isn't much harder than command line programming. But if you want to create cross-platform GUI programs, it's more difficult because no matter what anyone says, and Python is more cross-platform than anything, but still, it's not write once, run everywhere. It's write once, test everywhere, and then make slight modifications everywhere. So GUI programming is hard. And for that reason, in addition to Python, I recommend one other programming language to you. And that is because the easiest way to make a cross-platform program, a simple cross-platform program with a little customer interaction, user interaction, is by using JavaScript and HTML and through a web browser. So any web browser can use the program. A person with any operating system and any web browser can use your program programmed in JavaScript with HTML forms for user input and output. Now, it's certainly true that you can use Python to accomplish the same thing. You can't accomplish anything with JavaScript that you can't accomplish with Python, but it's harder because Python, not every user has Python on their machine. So, you know, the typical user of a web browser comes to your website, he won't be able to execute your Python program on his client-side computer. Now, you can use what's called CGI, Common Gateway Interface, and Python programs will execute on the server, and I do this all the time, so that give you the same interaction as a JavaScript program. But JavaScript is easier for that kind of simple program, and it's universal. And because it's used so much on the web and with web browsers, although JavaScript is considered a lightweight language, in reality, it's probably the most used programming language in the world. And it is an easy way to make user interactivity. So I do recommend that you learn JavaScript also. And what's really nice is that JavaScript, although a little bit harder, in my opinion, to learn than Python, not much harder, it's pretty simple. And even more importantly, it's built on the same sort of philosophy as Python. So it's object-oriented, but you can also do things in a procedural, simpler way. And what you learn from Python will transfer very easily to JavaScript. So learning your first programming language is always harder. Any language you learn afterward will be easier. And since Python is the easiest language to learn first, I recommend Python first. And it's more powerful than JavaScript by far. But once you've learned Python, it's very easy to also learn JavaScript and then use JavaScript. And JavaScript is used everywhere. In podcasting, you'll find little scripts written in JavaScript. And on every website, it's very common to have JavaScripts. And you can customize them to your heart's content. And, of course, HTML, which is not a programming language, it is the lingua franca of the web. And it's what web pages are made out of. And it's a markup language, like XML is the more powerful version, generalized version of HTML now. And XML is what enclosure statements are made in, or RSS statements. But you really need to learn HTML. It's the basic technology of the web. So no matter what programming language you might learn, you're going to have to learn HTML to do anything these days with computers of interest. And so if you learn Python first and then HTML and JavaScript, those three, you could do anything. There's nothing you can't do. Now, okay, there are other languages, lots and lots and lots, but really there's nothing you can't do with those three tools. So if you go to my main webpage and you'll see Python in the upper left-hand corner, there's also in the upper right-hand corner JavaScript. So you click on that and you go to my JavaScript page. I call it JavaScript 411. And it has similar things to the Python page. Not quite this exhaustive, but still it has many good tutorials that I have personally used and recommend for learning JavaScript, and then some HTML online tutorials, a few JavaScript book reviews that of books I've read, not as many as Python, but enough. And I think that that one page has everything you would ever need for learning JavaScript. And also, I include many programs that I wrote in JavaScript, which with the source code, and you can learn JavaScript just by using and then reviewing my simple scripts. And I do the same thing with Python, I neglected to add, but I wrote many Python programs, and the source code is all up there on the Python page. But in particular with JavaScript, since it's interactive over the web and over web browsers, I wrote many scripts that show how you can collect data and then do some simple manipulations on the data in the background and then output the results. Now, the limitations to JavaScript are primarily this. It can't access hard drives, so it can't store data permanently. There's always exceptions like cookies, but not worth talking about at this time. If you want to store data, you need to use something like Python and do CGI or server-side programming. But JavaScript is good if you want to just take data from the user and then do some manipulations and give it back to him in some output in a modified form after your JavaScript has manipulated the data. So again, it's all illustrated. So on this one website behind my podcasting front page, you will find these, I think, I put enormous amount of effort into these resources for learning JavaScript and Python online without spending a lot of money and maximizing the usage of your time. This is the only podcast I intend to do as part of the AwareTech series on these tools, but I think I just wanted to introduce it to you and suggest that you might want to learn these things, and this would be a very easy way to go about it. So, to summarize, computer programming for everybody. We live in a computer age. Why not learn just a little bit? And don't be fooled. The languages I'm talking about, especially Python, you could become a power user. The power users of Python are some of the smartest people in the world, and you can do anything with Python. So if you want to go more than just the basics, and you want to really become an expert, Python is still the right language, I believe. And so I offer all these tools on my website. I hope I'm not boring you to death. If you don't like computer programming, well, don't worry. The AwareTech series won't talk about this a lot, but I'm open to questions, you know, on the discussion forum or by email. If you have questions, I'll help you in any way I can to learn any of these things. Not that I'm an expert, but I learned the hard way as someone who didn't pick up programming easily. It was difficult for me, relatively speaking, I believe. If I can learn it, anyone can learn it. So I strongly recommend it, and I do really appreciate what the open source people have done, in particular Guido von Rossum and the others who have helped him with Python. And so many helpful people in the Python community. If I had to mention one other person, it's Alex Martelli. As far as I'm concerned, he's a genius. He's found on the Python News Group, which you can link to from my website, along with all the other Python sites. They're all linked there, all the resources. Alex Martelli is so helpful, and I think he's a genius. Well, enough said. I've got another podcast to do on a completely different subject, which I will do, get out up on the website tomorrow. And so for now, I'm going to say stay aware of the possibilities, and so long for now.